happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. President Trump says he's not sure if his tariffs and the trade wars that result will send the American economy into a recession. More on that from CBS's Nicole Killian.
In a lengthy interview with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo, President Trump stops short of saying whether the U.S. economy could fall into a recession later this year.
I hate to predict things like that. There is a period of transition.
I would never bet on recession.
Even as his commerce secretary sought to downplay the risk, the president also didn't rule out the possibility of inflation.
The last recession ended in June 2009. Mark Carney's first speech as Canada's next prime minister was a startling turnabout for a longtime American ally.
These are dark days. Dark days brought on by a country we can no longer trust.
Canadians, of course, are known for being nice, but CBS's Chris Mavridis in Toronto says when it comes to retaliatory tariffs, they play hardball.
Ontario's premier reached out to the governors of Michigan, New York, and Minnesota over the weekend to tell them he was going through with the 25% surcharge until President Trump scraps his tariffs completely. If that continues next month, not only is Ontario threatening to completely shut off the power it sells to the U.S., but the province is now considering stockpiling the nickel it sells to the U.S. military and aerospace industry.
Ontario provides power to 1.5 million Americans in New York, Michigan, and Minnesota. All five people on board a single-engine Beechcraft Bonanza that crashed near the Lancaster, Pennsylvania airport yesterday survived. The plane went down in the parking lot of the Brethren Village retirement community and immediately burst into flames.
It's grateful it wasn't any closer.
They should be thankful no one was killed. I'm surprised, really.
No one on the ground was injured. A magnitude 4.1 earthquake jolted the Los Angeles area early yesterday afternoon, not strong enough to scare residents accustomed to feeling the earth move.
The motion, the way it seemed to pick up, started to get stronger. I want to say a good 5 seconds.
It was a surprise for me. They don't bother me unless I guess it's a really serious jolt.
The quake was centered north of Malibu and was felt across Southern California. There have been no reports of damage. The nation this weekend marked 60 years since the vicious attack by police and state troopers on voting rights marchers at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Carolyn Scott joined the bridge crossing for the first time this year.
It's exciting to be here with my sisters and my brothers. And I'm excited about going across the bridge because I never walked across the bridge. So that's exactly what I want to do.
Stock index futures are all down sharply at this hour. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks lose to the Cavaliers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 112-100 at Fiserv Forum. Cleveland has now won 14 games in a row. How did Milwaukee measure up? Doc Rivers.
Honestly, I look at the game, guys, and they scored a bunch down the stretch, but defensively, we were good enough to win the game. Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough to win the game tonight.
College basketball, the Badgers learned they'll face either Minnesota or Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament Thursday afternoon in Indianapolis. The Badgers upset by Penn State over the weekend. It's Marquette against Xavier at Madison Square Garden on Thursday in the Big East tournament. And the Badgers women's basketball team head coach, Marissa Mosley, has stepped down after four losing seasons in Madison. NFL, Davante Adams headed to the LA Rams. The 32-year-old receiver will sign a two-year deal worth nearly $46 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s, even lower 70s. And be careful with fire. There will be elevated grassland fire danger today. Tonight, breezy into the 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, low to mid 40s. We'll be back in the 60s, even close to 70 later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if America alienates its allies, how will that affect us here in Wisconsin? Retired Major General Randy Manner joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, March 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media, thanks for starting your day right here, and happy birthday, Sherry, who hopefully is not hearing this. Hopefully she's sleeping in because, you know, you should get to do that on your birthday. I have a question for you. It seems a little darker out here this morning, doesn't it? But the daylight saving thing is going to be okay. It's going to feel better tonight, and it's going to feel even more like spring a little bit later on, because, for example, here in Chippewa Falls, it's 32 right now. It's going to be 65 later on. In Hayward right now, it's 26, and they're going to hit near 70 degrees today. Amory's at 35, Wausau 31, Rapids 28, La Crosse at 36, Green Bay at 37, it's 34 in Madison, it's 39 in Milwaukee, temperatures in the mid-60s to near 70. Today, on this March 10th, it doesn't feel quite right, but that's exactly what we're going to be experiencing today, and we will get Brittany Merlot's full forecast coming up in just about an hour or so. Also coming up on the program today, we will talk about Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and his trip to Wisconsin, Kenosha on Friday evening, Altoona here in the Chippewa Valley on Saturday morning. And this is, as much as people want to say, well, of course he appeals to, you know, far left voters. That's not the message he was bringing. The message he was bringing was to a particular set of Wisconsin voters who we don't talk about so much. We're used to people being on the far left or the far right, MAGA, whatever you want to call it. There are still a whole lot of folks in the middle that, you know, can vote either way in a presidential election, and some of them may be having buyer's remorse about Donald Trump, given everything that's been going on. We will not be talking to Kristen Lyerly, as we often do on Mondays. She's a little bit busy being a big deal at South by Southwest. We'll talk about that film festival and what her project is out there. One housekeeping note for you. We mentioned last week that Department of Public Instruction State Superintendent candidate Brittany Kinzer would be joining us this week. There's been a slight rescheduling. We had mentioned that it would be Wednesday. It's actually going to be this Friday at 7:30 in place of our usual week in review panel. So Brittany Kinzer coming up on Friday morning. In today's Up North News daily newsletter, it is Women's History Month, and Christina Lurie continues a series of stories about Wisconsin women in history, including the Wisconsin woman who created that ubiquitous triangle on your recycling bin and on all those plastics we consume. Her name is Millie Zanto, and she helped write Wisconsin's first recycling laws in the 1970s. She was key to developing the number 1 through number 7 system that's used to identify plastics for recycling. That number is inside the little triangle that you see on recyclable plastics. And there's more in the newsletter about all the plastic we consume, plus much more, in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at our website, and you'll also get our new weekend newsletter, which is politics only. And we covered Bernie Sanders' trip to Wisconsin. And in our question of the week, we actually did stray a little from politics this time around. And I wanted to know your feelings on book clubs, because we had author Laura Bird in last week talking about book clubs that you could start or book clubs that you could join, what makes for a good book club. So we wanted to know if you had a book club experience you wanted to tell us about it, something that was good or bad, advice for a book club, and responses are starting to come into that already. And of course, you can do that without the newsletter. Just send us an email. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. That's radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Yeah, you can also call or text the show anytime, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Be sure you use that Civic Media app. You can call or text us from there, of course. And you can leave a comment or a question on Facebook, the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News Facebook page, and the Up North News YouTube page, where Alicia's hanging out and just simply says, yay, warm weather. Warm weather indeed, because at Radio Park in Racine, it is 42 degrees right now. 42, heading for the upper 60s again, where Mr. Greg Bach is standing by. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm feeling nice and cozy here in this 42-degree weather.
Almost
need to take this hoodie off because it's getting toasty in this little studio here.
I'm still, it doesn't seem quite right, you know, but again, with the time change helps. It's like, okay, it's spring. This is supposed to happen. You know, I'm about to tell people about, you know, March Madness, and Christian Yelich hit his first home run of spring training. So, I mean, everything about winter is quickly, watch this, melting away. So it's good.
Oh, darn it.
The comedian's leaving me alone. Great. Okay.
Well, you know, sometimes when you don't push the on button on the channel that you want to, and you're like, I got you, Pat. I'll get you where. Too late.
There it is. Oh, well. So you had a busy weekend. You had, what, 6 shows at the Laughing Tap?
Yep, we had 6 sold out shows. All shows sold out this weekend. Big thanks to everyone who came out. Big thanks to Jeffrey Asmus and Colin Unger and Reagan Nimla, who were great as the comics for that weekend. The shows were wonderful. We had a really good time, and when we hit that first show yesterday at 4 p.m., like, all right, 2 more to go, and then we got that last one. I'm like, all right, I can't wait to go home. And it was basically, yes. I got home and I went right to bed, and then now I am here and I am
right but back at it.
I mean, but next weekend is going to be busy too. 5 shows again, and then 5 shows at, and I'm performing at the Tap in a couple of weeks. So
you're performing now?
I'm performing. I'll be there. All I will be hosting for Mr. Hari Kondabolu in 2 weeks, who is quite one. If you like the, what's that show? Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He is a frequent guest on that show. And it's been on TV and whatnot. So, yeah. I got coffee here. Let's do it.
There's no rest for the wicked. No.
No.
I've got one comedian thing. And again, I'm putting you on the spot. You don't have to dish the dirt or whatever. But I just want to say we caught up last night on the last 2 Saturday Night Lives. And this past weekend was Lady Gaga. And, I mean, she's fine. I've seen her on Saturday Night Live before. She tries it. She puts a lot into it. Okay. But then we also watched the weekend before, and it's the second time we've seen it with comedian Shane Gillis, who I have only heard from the 2 times he's hosted Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I don't know you. So before I share my negative impression of him, here's your chance to say he's a fine, upstanding citizen.
Well, Shane Gillis, do you know the controversy surrounding Shane
Gillis? I know about the I remember the controversy, and so he had to delay his appearance, but then eventually he appeared on SNL, and so there was this build-up.
Wasn't that it?
Oh.
No,
maybe that was Morgan Wallen.
No, that was Morgan Wallen. That was a whole
That was a whole different thing. Back to Shane Gillis.
Shane Gillis was hired as a cast member of SNL and got fired before he was ever on an episode because of some old podcast episodes and tweets that came out about him. And looking back now, I mean, you can have your opinions on them, and for me, it's just like I have bills to pay. But Shane Gillis has been on the show twice. I'll tell you this, if he came to the tap, he'd probably have to do 20 shows.
Well, I believe that. Yeah. I believe that I can totally see where he is the cup of tea for some people.
Yep, he is the podcast stand-up comedian genre. I'd say he's top of the pile next to Joe Rogan, who, like, that's a different thing.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. But I like Shane Gillis on the surface. Like, I'm not a huge fan of him. I wouldn't pay money to go see him, but I enjoyed his appearances. He doesn't have to do, this is my thing too. Also, stand-up comedians, you don't have to do a set as your monologue. They almost always are mid, if not bomb completely. Dave Chappelle did 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And he hosted last time. Just go up there, do 5 to 6 minutes, be fun, sing a song, introduce the band. We'll be right back and move on. But I just, I don't think you need to do a set every single time.
I couldn't agree more. I know there's been at least one where a comedian did a stand-up set hosting SNL and killed it. But I think there may have only been one, and I can't even remember what that one. The rest were like, you know what? This is a sketch comedy show. We can just jump right into the sketches, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I think Louis C.K.'s first before all the things happened.
That is probably the one.
Yeah. And then Bill Burr's, when he hosted this year, that set was not good. And because it makes people have an impression of this guy that they don't know very well. Like, well, he's not very funny. They don't know his actual stand-up specials and how good he actually is.
Yeah.
So,
because again, broadcast versus your typical stand-ups these days, you know, unless you're Jim Gaffigan or somebody else working super clean, it's night and day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just go to the sketches. I brought all that up when you talked about the busy weekend, because then it beat heavy to hear me whine. So now we've minimized the amount of whining about my weekend. I had a great weekend in Wisconsin Dells, with the tiny two grandkids. Water parks like crazy. I am so sore we went down as quick as we could on Friday. So we had Friday, Saturday, and the first part of Sunday in this water park. And the 5-year-old was just going like crazy. And the 2-year-old would occasionally have these bursts of energy where we'd have to do this. Oh, let's dunk grandpa again. Oh, let's dunk grandpa again. Oh, let's dunk.
Chase grandpa.
Sharing both before we went to bed early, we were just like, where's the ibuprofen? Oh my God. And, you know, we both woke up in the middle of the night to take another dose of ibuprofen. We're like, there's such a difference between parenthood and grandparenthood when it comes to activities like that.
Yeah. I had a niece's birthday party this weekend, and I had nowhere near where you're coming from, but I had at one point 3 kids crawling on me, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Yes.
But then I had to go walk into another room just for silence.
Just to catch your breath as well.
Where's the bathroom? And does it have double pane glass? I'm very tired.
So it was nice and everything, but boy, is it, it's kind of nice to get back into the groove here as well. So I hope you all had a good weekend as well. When we come back, we've got a lot of sports to talk about. We've also got our big Supreme Court event this week to tell you about, and a little bit out of the news as well. Live from Lake Wasota, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Got this for today's history lesson coming up in a half hour, featuring the one, the only, John Hamm of John Hamm's John Hamm, one of those SNL skits you actually do remember. I have to admit, never watched a single episode of Mad Men. Heard all about it, but just never got around to watching it. You, on the other hand, you said you liked this tune.
RJD2, who did the theme song, the song's called A Beautiful Mind. He is one of my favorite artists of all time. He's great. DJ, musician, the whole works, and this is just a nice encapsulation of what he does on his records. But I watched everything but the last season, and then I just sort of went, I'm done. Because at that time, and they're still doing it today, which I really don't appreciate it as a viewer, is that the last season's coming out in 2 years, in two parts. And I'm like, well, I don't care.
No.
So I never got resolution on what happened, and I've wanted to go back, but now I'm like, I'm so without memory of what happened that I feel like I'd have to start over, which I don't want to do again.
I felt that same way, and I feel like maybe the trend didn't start with Game of Thrones, but somewhere in there where it's like, well, it just takes so long to put this together. Well, that's not our fault. And I think you can go to that well one time.
Yeah.
And after that, it's like, no, I'm not waiting 2 years for this.
Started with Lost. Lost did that for the first time. They were we're going to come back in a year and a half. Like, what do you mean a year and a half?
Yeah.
And Stranger Things, I think it's going to be nearly 3 years between. I mean, that's kind of becoming the norm now, is on these streaming networks. You get like 2-3 years between seasons. You're like, all right. Well,
and if you're using young people like Stranger Things, I mean, you don't even recognize them.
Nope.
There's this puberty thing that happens.
Yeah, they get older and they're adults now.
Yeah. So, no, don't do that.
But yeah.
Anyway, so that's mad. I'm glad you liked the first couple seasons, but they just can't keep you around after that. You got to stay right on top of these things. It'd be like us holding a Supreme Court event after the Supreme Court election. Why would we do that? He said, making just a professional broadcast transition to Up North News and our first ever live event that's coming up this Wednesday at the Overture Center in Madison. We'd love to have you join us from 5 to 7, where we will have three different panel discussions on how the outcome of this Supreme Court election will have an impact, a very definite impact on reproductive rights and education and the economy. It'll be followed by a watch party because the Supreme Court candidate debate is also this Wednesday starting at 7, right when our event ends. So we'd love to have you come down. Tickets are free. Register for them at upnorthnewswi.com/supreme, upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. A little bit of sport. No, actually, it's going to be a lot of bit of sports because it was a busy weekend here. I already mentioned for the Brewers, Christian Yelich hit his first home run coming back from back surgery, a straightaway shot deep center. Not bad for a guy who's 33 and trying to get his back in action. So we're glad to hear that about Christian Yelich. The Milwaukee Bucks have now lost two in a row. They lost to Orlando on Saturday. They lost last night to Cleveland. Although Cleveland is rather hot, 14-game winning streak the Cavaliers have going right now. The Bucks are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. That's not bad, but with last night's loss, Milwaukee fell to 0-9 against the three teams above them in the East, Cleveland, Boston, and New York. Giannis, meanwhile, scored 30 points last night, and this is cool. He moved into 50th place on the all-time NBA scoring lists. So good work out of him. And then the Bucks will play tomorrow at Indiana. All right, college men's basketball. We're getting close to March Madness here. The Badger men, they lost to Penn State on Saturday. So that knocked them out of the top four teams, the four teams that would get a double bye in this week's Big Ten Conference Tournament in Indianapolis. The Badgers do get a bye in the first round, and so the Badger men will first play on Thursday afternoon. They will face either Minnesota or Northwestern. The Marquette men's basketball team lost to St. John's on Saturday, so they too are a number five seed heading into their Big East Conference Tournament. They get a first round bye, and then on Thursday afternoon, they will play four seed Xavier at Madison Square Garden. The Badger women's hockey team, number one in the country, for a reason. In their conference tournament, the WCHA, they beat Minnesota Duluth Friday. They beat the Gophers on Saturday. And they were, of course, awarded the overall number one seed yesterday for the NCAA National Hockey Tournament. The Badger women get a first-round bye. And then on Saturday afternoon, they'll play Thursday's winner of Boston U versus Clarkson. The Badger men's hockey team, their season came to an end after losing last night in the Big Ten quarterfinals at Ohio State. They lost last night 3-2, and the Badger men finished with a disappointing record of 13 wins, 21 losses, and 3 ties. So that's a little sports at 627. As we mentioned, there was a visit by Bernie Sanders over the weekend, two actually, to Wisconsin, one to Kenosha to a crowd of estimated nearly 4,000 people, and then another at Altoona High School here near Eau Claire of more than 2,500 people who came to listen to the Vermont Independent Senator talk about how we don't do oligarchies here in the United States. You know, maybe some people seem to be okay with it, seem to be sliding toward authoritarianism, and, you know, they're all good with that. Plenty of other people did not vote for this. They did not vote for Elon Musk, and they did not vote for the way that Donald Trump is going about this kind of backdoor way of funding tax cuts for the very wealthy. That's the audience that Sanders was going for. Same goes for Mark Pocan, who had a rally in Belmont and got several hundred people to pack a room there as well. He invited Derek Van Orden to come join him. Van Orden hasn't had a town hall that I'm aware of. You can hear him next weekend, Derek Van Orden. It'll just cost you $40 because you'll have to buy a ticket to the Richland County Republican Party dinner next Sunday. I'm not sure that it's actually supposed to work that way. Derek Van Orden does have a new gig at the U.S. Naval Academy. to talk about the company you keep. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to talk about what it is that Derek Van Orden is now doing for the U.S. Naval Academy. And wait till you hear this rogues gallery of who he's going to be serving with as part of it. It is also possible, but not likely, that Sean Duffy could be joining the resistance, at least based on reports that say he was in a shouting match with Elon Musk. And yet it was Marco Rubio
who got the attention on Saturday Night Live for doing that. You just got to be a little more colorful than that, I guess. Be like Marco Rubio when it comes to licking them boots. More after this. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Wright.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Well, most of the market is still talking about tariffs on a Monday. There has been some exporting activity that might have gone unnoticed. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Dan Hallstrom is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He said they're still continuing to see good shipment, good momentum when it comes to U.S. pork going into places like Mexico, Central America, and even Canada. He said there's trade agreements in place that are allowing that flow of product to continue.
Volume up 22% and value up 30%. A lot of these record-breaking growth countries have some sort of duty-free access through free trade agreements. You've got Mexico and Canada on the USMCA side. You have Korea with their free trade agreement, Colombia, DR. So I don't think it's any coincidence that these are all markets where we have a preferential access. We do have to protect these long-standing relationships with these key trading partners.
That's Dan Hallstrom. He is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, describing the business we've seen end of 2024 into 2025 for U.S. pork, bound for places like Central America, Mexico, and Canada.
Improve yield without an extra step with QuickShot. QuickShot is a quality fluency agent and a full nutrient package in one ultimate planter box treatment. It provides all the benefits of enhanced flowability, improved singulation, and fewer skips, but with a powerful jolt of nourishment. This improves uptake and vigor during emergence, leading to stronger stand establishment and increased uniformity. Go with QuickShot to help your seed reach its full yield potential. Contact your local Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information about QuickShot. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before you. In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 163. 40-pound block cheese finished 0.5 cent lower at 162.25. Double A butter on Friday, a penny stronger, 231 a pound. This morning, the April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 6 at 1714 a hundredweight. Our December new crop corn's down 2 at 452. November new crop beans down 4 right now at 1022. And the July new crop wheat, that's up 3 right now, 568 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. Want to remind you, we announced the 6 finalists to become our next Alice in Dairyland on Friday. Learn more about each of the candidates on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s, even lower 70s. And be careful with fire. There will be elevated grassland fire danger today. Tonight, breezy into the 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, low to mid 40s. We'll be back in the 60s, even close to 70 later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Don't get me wrong, I'm as puzzled by this song as a lot of you are right now. Wait, isn't it a little early for Sexy Back? And is that Timberlake or Timbaland? And which one of them is part of today's history lesson? You're going to have to wait 15 more minutes to find out here on Up North News Radio. The comment sections are getting spicy out there on YouTube. Because, you know, you were talking about who's the R2-D2 guy giving the music for Mad Men?
RJ-D2.
Okay. I thought DJT Donald John Trump 2. That's the term we're in here. DJT2.
Don't do that. I've
insulted your favorite.
Don't do that.
You were talking about some of your favorite were those tunes or albums that you were recommending from him?
The Third Hand, The Horror, and When We Last Spoke are all three are records.
Okay.
From him. And if you want further recommendations, feel free to reach out to me. I will give you all the recommendations on that on him. I just say celebrate his entire catalog.
There you go. And Tony puts on YouTube. I want comedian recommendations from Greg as well. So we'll do comedian chat.
Absolutely.
And of course, he couldn't just leave well enough alone. He then follows it up with, and obviously, flannel recommendations from Pat. Who's his go-to flannel manufacturer? Does he know a guy who knows a guy who sews his own custom flannel? That's enough, Tony. I just, you know, if I wear solid color shirts here, you know, you'll feel like I weigh 239 pounds. Oh, wait, that's Donald Trump, according to his doctor, Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Who says he weighs 239 pounds.
When you said it was getting spicy in the comments, I'm like, oh boy. Because, you know, we got some.
Not like that. Not like. Actually, here, I'll come back to Trump being 239 pounds in a minute. But first, before I leave the comments section, Roger and Stevens Point, congrats to the WIAC. Three women's basketball teams advanced to the Sweet 16 round in the NCAA Division III tournament. Stout, Whitewater, and Oshkosh advance with victories in their opening round games.
Nice.
So thank you for that, Roger, and congrats to those teams. This is normally when we would be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She's busy, Greg, being what they call a big deal. She's at South by Southwest, and she told us about this previously, but I just wanted to call attention to this film. I don't know if it's a documentary or just a film, whatever you want to call it. Christy Turlington. Mm-hmm. The model turned founder and president of the group Every Mother Counts worked on this film that features a couple of other women, doctors, and they are part of a panel discussion, I guess, that reads like this. Even before the Dobbs decision, which removed the federal constitutional right to abortion, was passed by the Supreme Court in 2022, more mothers were dying in pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum in the U.S. than any other high-resource country. Things have only worsened since then. Featuring a sneak peek of footage from a yet-to-be-released film about maternal health in the U.S., this panel will examine the state of play for mothers, families, and providers, why maternal health is so precarious at present, and the solutions that exist. And it's always nice to get that reminder for as entertaining as Kristen is when she comes to visit us on Mondays, that she's also had more than her share of news segments with us, with medical segments with us. And there is no better spokesperson, I think, in this state to say, look, we try to be happy and upbeat when we can, but the state of healthcare in Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, and the country, not great to begin with. Then you had the Dobbs decision, or you just look at maternal, you know, morbidity, and we have progress to make. So it's no surprise to me that Kristen is getting a little national spotlight at South by Southwest this year.
Yeah, I was saying to you, I mean, Kristen is, I mean, doctor, mother, partner, advocate, activist, all the politician, the whole thing. Like, and when you said she's at South by Southwest, I said, man, I wish I could be as busy as her doing just these. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my job. But, yeah. Like, what are you doing this
week?
I'm going to South by Southwest. Oh, okay.
We're busy. She's busy cool.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not busy cool. We're busy, you know, routine to busy doldrums to busy crazy.
Yeah.
She's busy cool,
yeah.
You know. So I hope that she's enjoying that, and we'll look forward to talking to her next week with more about that. It's weird to think that we could have had her in Congress in Northeast Wisconsin. The 7th and 8th districts, you don't have Kristen Lierley or Pat Kreitlow. You had Sean Duffy for a while and Tony Weed and now Tom Tiffany. But Sean Duffy is now a member of Donald Trump's cabinet. And apparently, according to reports, the cabinet is revolting. Insert your Mel Brooks joke here. The cabinet is revolting against Elon Musk, that he's not making them look real good, that everybody in that cabinet, you know, wants to cut spending. They want to cut taxes for the rich, but they don't want to be so obvious about it. And yet that's exactly what Elon Musk and the wrecking crew are doing these days. And reports said that Sean Duffy was one of those who had a blow up during a cabinet meeting with Elon Musk. Now comes reports over the weekend that Elon Musk has stopped following Sean Duffy on both of his Twitter accounts. Do we have dramatic music for that? Perfect.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Elon has stopped following Sean Duffy on both of his Twitter accounts. And yet, watching Saturday Night Live, it was Marco Rubio who got the sketch treatment of, yep, you know, trying to stand up to Elon Musk, only to back down, of course, again, as always. So,
Sean
cowards. Duffy, you're going to have to work harder.
Cowards.
They are just special.
Yeah.
And there's Trump in the middle of it, who made some new appointments over the past few days that involve Derek Van Orden, congressman for the 3rd Congressional District. So the 4 different military academies have something called a board of visitors, which isn't exactly what it means. The board of visitors' main objective is to oversee student life on the campus of military institutions. Trump fired them all. From all the academies. He fired them all, citing, here it comes, woke ideology. And he replaced them. Well, at the U.S. Naval Academy, he put Derek Van Orden on the board of visitors for the U.S. Naval Academy. Not the world's biggest surprise, you know, as a former Navy SEAL. But he also put on there Dr. Ronnie Jackson, the guy who notoriously said Trump weighed 239 pounds at his physical, you know, being 6'3" and in perfect health. Also on there, Sean Spicer was put back on the U.S. Naval Academy Board of Visitors. Or was it Melissa McCarthy in costume from SNL? I don't know. Hard to tell. And then finally, Walt Nauta, also a Navy veteran, but better known as Trump's co-defendant in Trump's classified documents case. Nauta served as Trump's body man. He accompanied Trump during numerous visits to Mar-a-Lago, where Trump was accused of storing classified documents that he removed from the White House that he shouldn't have removed. Keep this in mind, that although the cases against Nauta and Trump were eventually dropped, mostly because they weren't started soon enough, we still don't have a full accounting of just how much classified info may have been shared with other governments and potentially used for harmful purposes. But Walt Nauta, Sean Spicer, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, and Derek Van Orden are now best buddies as part of the U.S. Naval Academy's Board of Visitors to make sure that there is no woke ideology in student life on the campuses of our military academies. So Van Orden has that other gig, allegedly, as a congressman. Although, again, so far the job seems to be just to, you know, rubber stamp whatever comes along from the White House. Except that this is a group that cannot seem to get their act together on passing a federal budget. It has been shutdown threat followed by kicking the can with a continuing resolution. Shutdown threat, kicking the can. I mean, we have, how many times have we repeated this cycle over the years since Republicans took over the House a couple of years back? How many times? Well, guess what? In 4 days, we're going to do it again. 4 days to go until the latest continuing resolution expires, and we are facing a government shutdown this Friday. Speaker Mike Johnson has introduced another stopgap bill. This one kicks the can till September 30th, which is the last day of the current fiscal year. So, yes, the entire fiscal year will have been done again, not with a regular budget through the normal budget process, but through a series of continuing resolutions, which take a lot of the debate out of there, take a lot of the accountability out of there. It's just this pressure of, well, you got to pass this bill. Even if you don't like what's in it, you know, this is the only way to keep the government open. So you got to do it. You got to pass this. This latest one, despite all the cuts everywhere else, it would continue more of the cuts everywhere else, except, of course, military spending, which would be increased. Now, Johnson can only lose one Republican vote in the House. That's how thin their majority is. And Thomas Massie of Kentucky has already made clear he's a no vote because it doesn't cut enough. He wants across-the-board cuts, including the military. But even if only that one Republican votes no and it goes to the Senate, it would still need seven Democrats to join with all of the Senate Republicans in order for this thing to pass. And several Democrats have already said, well, don't look at us, because right now that thing is looking less like a stopgap bill and more like a slush fund for Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And when you think about it, that makes sense, because when they're making the cuts that they've made to budgets that have already passed, and then they're deciding which spending to continue and which one not, that's not a budget process. That's a slush fund. That's exactly what's going on here, instead of letting the people's elected representatives take care of business. So we'll watch between now and Friday and see whether anything like this develops. One more thing I wanted to make sure to mention, and it dealt with what I talked about earlier, and that was being in Wisconsin Dells last week, or over the weekend, rather. And that's about migrant labor, or immigrant labor. And, you know, whatever your feelings on immigration, it really only takes a weekend at the Dells as an example to remind you of the industries in Wisconsin that would pretty much up and die if we did not have immigrants, if we did not have immigration, if we did not have migrant labor. We've talked about farming. We've talked a bit about construction. We've talked a bit about manufacturing. But let's not forget the role of tourism, and any regular attendee to the Dells knows that that economy relies heavily on a whole lot of young people, primarily from other countries, who come in and work. And there are more than a few people who have opined that, well, if we just, you know, get rid of all the migrants, then all those other lazy people sitting on their couch will have to come in and work. I would remind you that we are at very near full employment, more people working and lower unemployment rates than ever before. The people not working, by and large, have reasons not to be, either because of disabilities or caring for somebody at home, or, you know, other reasons that will keep them there. Now, of course, all it takes is one or two people becoming known for gaming the system, and suddenly we're painting with a broad brush. Well, everybody who's not working must be lazy, must be sitting on the couch. You know, how many Republicans have tried that approach in elections already? People don't like being called lazy, as the Trump administration is doing right now to veterans. We need immigration reform in this country like never before, not just for farming, not just for construction, not just for manufacturing, but the incredibly important part of our sector in the Wisconsin economy called tourism. And we should embrace the folks that come here and work hard and do the things that help make our state economy work and let us have fun. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I always love that. That is Stevie Wonder, little Stevie Wonder, as he was called at the time. Recorded live for Motown's label, then known as Tamla. This was during a live show in 1963 during the Motortown Review performance at the Regal Theater in Chicago. A lot of it improvised, as you could probably tell. Playing drums, by the way, on that. Still unknown future Motown star named Marvin Gaye. This is our history lesson for March 10th, 2025. An Up North News reporter, Selena Heller, and her buddy Whiskers are here. Whiskers is here, and Selena's being seen somewhere in the background.
Whiskers, yeah. Will you get out of here?
known most notoriously in Toy Story, but now makes an appearance with Selena.
And wow, the cat left too. As soon as she's like, I'm out of here.
Yep, I'm not
like that. This.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
Oh, good. Well,
probably as busy as Greg's was.
Was it busy, Greg?
Very, very, very busy.
Yes, we had Bernie Sanders rally kind of on Saturday, and then we had a big sleepover for the first time, so that was exciting.
Oh no.
We were at the theater, yeah. Outside because it was so nice out.
All right. What did you do for the sleepover? Let me guess, you baked 100 cookies, you crocheted the blankets that they all slept under.
Oh gosh. We made kids like the Starbucks pink drink, so we made a copycat pink drink. And what else did we do? We played school. We made a down the stairs a slide with gymnastics mat, so they got to slide down the stairs, and that was a big hit.
You're familiar with America's Funniest Home Videos, right? And how
did they crash into the wall? I don't know.
There's no holes in the wall or anything like that.
Nope.
Okay.
No injuries. No, okay. It was good. Lots of giggling.
Good. Well, I'm glad that worked out then. Getting back to the history lesson. Oh, before I forget, Fingertips from Stevie Wonder there. That was the first live recording ever to be a number one record on the Hot 100 on this day back in 1963.
On this day
in 1967, Aretha Franklin released her first album on Atlantic Records.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
That was one of the cuts off the album I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You from Aretha Franklin, this day in 1967. Let's just continue the anthems for women here with Gloria Gaynor. Her song hit number one this day in 1979.
Flourish, 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 flourish.
Is there any self-respecting woman, Selena, that does not know the words to all of this and can just perform it on demand?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, there you go.
Pretty signature.
Let's see. One more for female empowerment. The first episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer was premiered on the WB network this day in 1997. In terms of male empowerment, we got Chuck Norris.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Chuck Norris. 85 today. 85.
Wow.
And could still kill every one of us. Sharon Stone is 67 years old today. Edie Brickell is 59 today.
I love this song.
Also on the birthday list today, John Hamm is 54. Timbaland is 53. Olivia Wilde is 41. Ego Wodum from Saturday Night Live is 37. Bad Bunny is 31 years old today. And Carrie Underwood turns 42 today.
One thing about this song, though,
yeah,
if you listen to the lyrics real quick, you should stay away from this guy. Seems like he's very, very dangerous.
Yes.
He only comes out at night. That's a vampire. He's not a cowboy cat. That's a vampire she's dealing with.
Oh, that's a good point.
Thank you. Yeah. You're welcome, Miss Underwood.
Emery asked me last night if vampires were real. Because Hotel Transylvania was on. We just had this conversation last night.
Yes, and they're all local business owners.
Yes. Oh, here you go.
I did not say that to her.
Yep. And on this day in 2015, 10 years ago today, a jury awarded Marvin Gaye's estate more than $7 million, finding that Robin Thicke's song Blurred Lines was too similar to Marvin Gaye's 1977 hit Got to Give It Up. Here's a mashed version that Sky News put together back in the day. Tell me if this is the same song or not. Hit it, Craig. See, this is Blurred Lines.
Yep.
Okay. That's Got to Give It Up.
I mean,
okay, now we're back to Blurred Lines. Okay. No, not hearing it.
You're not?
I'm hearing similarities. I'm not hearing a copycat.
Well, apparently a judge heard $7.8 million worth of similarity.
I guess.
Guess that counted.
I guess it was close enough. Selena's back after the news to talk a bit about the Bernie Sanders rally. I heard about 2,600 people there or so, and probably a bunch that couldn't get in.
Yeah, that was what the State Patrol told me, that the capacity was, or some of the volunteers there, the capacity was 2,500, and then they kind of had an overflow area. And Bernie talked to the overflow area before he came down, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mentioned the same thing happened in his Michigan appearance after Altoona, and also in Kenosha the night before at UW Parkside. So we're going to talk more about and hear from the Vermont senator about what he had to say, trying to fight against that whole notion of, oligarchy. Maybe not something we want. here in the United States certainly seem to be headed that way, given all the tech bros and billionaires in charge of things right now. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Are we headed toward a recession, the first since June 2009? President Trump isn't ruling it out, but he says revenue from his tariffs will more than make up for any short-term economic pain.
Of course you hesitate. Who knows? All I know is this. We're going to take in hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs, and we're going to become so rich, you're not going to know where to spend all that money.
Trump spoke to reporters on Air Force One. Canada's incoming Prime Minister Mark Carney is promising to keep in place retaliatory tariffs on American goods if the U.S. imposes tariffs on Canadian goods. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
He vowed to lead the country through what he called dark days, sparked by President Trump's threatened tariffs and calls to make Canada the 51st state, something he and party leaders said will never happen.
American products exported to China are going to get more costly there.